Open your King James Bible, please, today to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3 for our study number 20, please. This 15-minute Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 20-Doctrine. Let us pray. Father, give us divine wisdom. Touch us from above. Move upon our heart and upon our soul. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." In our last study, which was study number 19, we looked at the first charge of the seven charges that Paul gives Timothy in this book of 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul told Timothy to charge some to teach no other doctrine. In this study, which is study number 20, we want to continue this first charge and look at the word teach here in this verse a little more in detail, and then we'll look at the word doctrine. Before we start, I want to point out something that seems to help me in the studying of the Word of God. When I read a verse, I look at four things. These are persons in the verse, the places in the verse, and the things of importance in the verse. In this verse, three, we see the persons who are God, Paul, Timothy, and the church. Now, you don't see any of those names mentioned, but God is the one that's given us the scriptures through the apostle Paul as he anoints him and has ordained him to preach. And then Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's given in the charge, and also the charge is to the church. So there's four particular persons that we see in this verse. We see the places, which are Ephesus and Macedonia. We see the things which we call the important subjects, which are in this case three words: the word charge, the word teach, and the word doctrine. Now we can take these and begin to break them down to see who God is using and talking to in this verse. We can see how God is dealing with the people and what is on his mind that he wants to convey over to the people. Now, Paul uses this word teach 9 times in these pastoral epistles. He only mentions this word 5 times in the rest of his 11 epistles. So that word teach is important. It's a special word to the apostle Paul. Again, this is because there are three pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus. We want to at least mention the locations of this word in the epistles and give a quick description of their use. You may want to pursue these in a personal study sometime. These would make a good series to teach if you're a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. We will come back to these and we'll include them in our studies if the Holy Spirit directs us. Now, the first mention of the word teach is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3, and it's in our text verse here. And we'll see that this is a word that deals with teach no other doctrine. Actually, there's nothing else to teach that will build up us, you know, build up the saints in the faith and establish our churches. Only thing that we can teach is this which we can, build up in our hearts and our lives and our families. Bible doctrine will increase our wisdom and make us strong. We're raised up in the nurture of the Lord through Bible doctrine. We're going to deal with that word in just a little bit. The second mention of the word teach is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 12. Instructions here is given to the women who are teaching in the church, and it gives them their limitations. Paul teaches that women are not to usurp authority over men. Usurp means to seize, to take over, to grab, or to assume authority over men here in this case. Now, women teachers in the church are forbidden if they're over men. Many churches pay no attention to this, and all or some of the churches even allow women to teach the adult Sunday school class. Some churches even allow women to lead the singing in the congregation and even pray in the assembly of a mixed congregation, which should not be allowed. Now, the third mention of the word teach is found in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 2. And here's where we find the qualifications of a bishop. Every pastor should be able to teach the Word of God. God said the bishop should be apt to teach. That means he should be able and ready to teach if he's needed. There are a lot of pastors who can't teach. They do not have the ability to teach, and that bothers me. The fourth mention of the word teach is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, and it's given instructions to Timothy and to the saints of God to command and teach, and we'll deal with that when we get into that chapter and that verse. And so we find the fifth and the sixth mention of the word teach is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 2 and verse number 3. And this is instructions to the masters and servants, those who work and labor together and their affiliation with each other. Now the seventh mention of the word teach is found in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 2, and it's instructions to Timothy and the saints of God, and we'll deal with that later. The eighth mention of the word teach is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, and again, it's instructions to Timothy and to the saints of God. The ninth mention of the word teach is found in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, and it's instructions to the aged women. The aged women are to teach the younger women how to conduct themselves in the present world. And he goes into details with that. Now, we will discuss this word more as we come to them in the individual verses and in our studies. But today, we want to turn to another little word in this same verse. For the next little while, we want to look at this other word in the third verse, which is the word doctrine. Paul used the word doctrine 16 times in these three pastoral epistles. Doctrine is the theme of these epistles. Paul knows if our Bible doctrine is right, we will be right. And if we will have a great influence on the church and the church family. Paul also knows if our Bible doctrine is wrong, we'll be wrong in our doctrine, and we will have a bad influence on the church and the church family. That is why Paul is deeply concerned in this verse about teaching no other doctrine. Now, Paul knew that it's important to build on the proper Bible doctrines. One bad apple in the barrel will spoil all the rest and ruin all the good apples if it's left alone and not taken out of the barrel. Just one in the church with bad doctrine will upset and destroy the furtherance of the gospel in the church and therefore also in the community. Doctrine means policies. It means guidelines, principles, dogma. Our doctrines are what we believe. Our doctrines are what we build and pattern our lives by. And our doctrines are what we hold to and depend on. Our doctrines are our rules and regulations of what we stand for. Many in our churches do not know what Bible doctrines are, and at the same time, they do not even care if their doctrines are right or not, and if they are even biblical doctrines of the ones that they even have. In a nutshell, I want to say this. Doctrine is what we believe. Is what you believe today what the Bible teaches? Do you hold the Bible for guidance, for instruction? Do you hold to the Bible for wisdom? Do you desire for the Bible to pattern your life, mold your life, and control your life? Does what you believe from the Bible have complete control of your spiritual life? Many have not given any thought to the doctrines of the Word of God. Others do not know if their doctrines of what they believe are biblical or even close to even being biblical. We need to know, and we will not know unless we search the Word of God concerning our doctrines or our beliefs. Our doctrines of what we believe are not established by what mama thinks or believes. Our doctrines are not established by what daddy believes. Our doctrines are established by what the Baptist teaches or any other denomination as far as that's concerned. Our doctrines are established by the unadulterated Word of God, by the infallible Word of God, by the inerrant Word of God, and by the perfect inspired Word of God. That's where our doctrines are established. That's where we get them. And if we're not biblical and didn't come from the Bible, then our doctrines are wrong. Here in verse number 3, Paul tells Timothy to charge some to teach no other doctrine. In this verse, it's not plain what Paul's talking about until we read a little farther down into this chapter. We will have to look at other verses to understand what Paul is teaching here. From verses 4 down through verse number 10 of this first chapter, 1 Timothy, Paul is going to lay it out, and he's going to give us what sound doctrine is. With that in mind, you'll see that we'll be on doctrine for quite some time. I said it's the theme of these epistles. This is going to be Paul's theme for a while. Now, Paul wants us to have a sound doctrine, and he speaks of that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 10. Paul says, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." So we see that Paul is wanting us to have sound doctrine. From verse number 3 down through verse number 10, Paul is describing and telling us what sound doctrine is. We will not look at these verses right now because we're looking at each individual verses one by one in the future. And so you will pick up on this sound doctrine. Paul also talks about good doctrine in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." If there's any good doctrine, if there is good doctrine, and there is, then there must be bad doctrine. We find this bad doctrine in the first few verses of the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy and other places in 1 Timothy as well. Now, bad doctrine would be that which is contrary and opposite to what the Word of God teaches. It appears that many were forbidding in this fourth chapter to marry, and commanding men and women to abstain from certain meats. They were going back under the law with some of what they believed, and picking up doctrines of devils along with the other things that they're picking up. We'll go into detail when we come to this verse, and we'll see some more about it. Now, I want to point out another thing here in this verse. We see the phrase "good minister." Good doctrine makes good ministers. Bad doctrine makes bad ministers. Good preachers hold to, they preach and live by good doctrine. Bad preachers hold to, preach and live by bad doctrine. It's imperative that the man of God have biblical doctrine, I mean his doctrine, be correct. If the pulpit is wrong, the pew will be wrong. If you have bad doctrine preached from the pulpit, then those on the pew will never have good doctrine taught to them, and the church will go in the wrong direction, I guarantee it. Now you see what is wrong with most of our churches in our country, and maybe get an idea why Paul speaks so much in this chapter about doctrine. Paul tells Timothy to give attendance to doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Many do not think that doctrine is very important or should be important in their churches. But if it's wrong, we're wrong. As a young preacher, I had taken a new church in which one of my former pastors was a member there. He got me off to the side just after I had come there and hadn't been there very long as the pastor, and told me, he said, "You'll be all right at this church, and you'll be fine, and you'll do good if you just won't preach and teach doctrine." Now, I was young, and I even questioned in my mind what he meant by that statement. I became self-conscious of it, and I come so self-conscious of it, and I wondered about it and wondered about it. And every time I get up to preach, I was wondering if I was preaching doctrine. You see, I wanted to do the right thing and not be contrary to the Bible. And I wanted to take the seasoned man of God. I wanted to take him at heart and believe him. Now, one day while I was praying, God reminded me of a scripture found in one of Paul's writings. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. And it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That word doctrine stood out like I'd never seen it before. According to this passage, if you preach the Word of God correctly, you'll be preaching doctrine. Matter of fact, it'll be Bible doctrine. I've been preaching Bible doctrine ever since that day. God revealed to me that salvation is the doctrine of God. I certainly am going to preach salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ the rest of my days. I now know why my former pastor did not pastor but one church and didn't stay there long. You see, doctrine is very important, and Paul is on that. Now, we'll continue on this subject in our next lesson. I'm not through, and we'll pick up some more. I trust today this lesson has been a blessing. This is lesson 20, and I pray it's been an encouragement and a help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let this soak into your heart and your soul and stir up your life. God bless you. Amen and amen.